Correct.
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Stewart. This is on the ABI, acquired brain injury, Unit 482.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I jumped the gun.
Okay, great. Governor's Rec, any changes? Senator Von Flatern.
I do now. Madam Chair, I'm trying to follow on this sheet, and I'm not seeing the amount.
The amount is on their governor's rec. It's 152,596.
Okay. I've got it now.
You see it?
Yes.
Everyone? Okay. All those in favor of the governor's rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unit closed. Oh. Okay. Sorry, I'll just get cranked up here. Okay, now we're on unit 703. Governor's rec is on the floor. Representative Stewart.
Madam Chair, thank you. Just like to remind the committee of some testimony we had when Director of the Emergency Services Department was in, and if you can find it, a handout that was delivered at that time, talking about a somewhat emergent issue that arose that they found out in their department towards the end of November and December of last year. That they realized that some funding that had been attached to the EMT pension fund bill that provided for four different items, and I'll name them to you right now. There was money for continuing education training, including training scholarships, increasing reimbursements for ambulance services, for conducting EMS classes, continuing education, training, and stipends for physician medical directors, and also grants for continuing education conferences. According to the testimony and what I found out through the meetings is that through changes in leadership in that department, the director becoming ill and temporary people filling in, the funding for that just fell through the cracks, and they never requested this one-time funding that came in 08 to be replenished until it ran out and calls started coming in. Where's the money, so to speak? Now, what I'd like to do, Madam Chair, is I'll propose an amendment to replace enough money in there for 1 year's funding to fill out the rest of this current biennium. The agency will then come back in the normal budget process and request an exception request for this again for the next budget session. Now, the amount, and if I could, the total amount for this request and this amendment, Madam Chair, will be $383,000. And at this time, I would like to make a motion for that. And if you would like, if the members can't find their handout, I could sure break this out for you.
What's the number on the handout?
I don't have that in front.
Here it is. It's number 14 in your book, in your black book. You should have handout number 14 in agency 48. And do you have a second on that, Representative Stewart?
Second.
Second by Walls. Okay, now we can have discussion. So if you want to go ahead, Representative Stewart, and just give us the highlights.
Of course, that was the history, and of course, anyone has any questions on the history, I'd be glad to fill it in. And of course, on the purpose and need of this funding, I can't tell you how important this funding is to sustain and maintain still what is described as a very fragile service and absolutely important service to the viability of our small communities and our large communities to thrive economically and providing a valuable medical service. Madam Chair, the way the numbers break out, it would be $74,000 for the educational component, $45,000 for the service stipends, $204,000 for the medical directors, and $60,000 for the conference sponsorships, brings a total of $383,000. And the information I get is that that would get them through the last half of this biennium. And like I said, they are fully prepared to come in and defend this at the next budget cycle as an exception request, which is how it was always supposed to be. They, like I said, it just inadvertently fell through the cracks. No one even requested it.
Any questions of the committee? Senator Von Fleetern?
Just curious, Madam Chair, what the genesis, what the origin of this is, the $82,000 that is requested, how does that, is it a portion of what Representative Stewart's asking for? I don't understand that.
Mr. Mike, can you help us with that?
Sure.
Do you know? Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The information I got that they actually lost some federal dollars that was going towards their training budget, statewide training, and actually that became more critical this last year when they lost that because of the fact that this other training money had been gone. So that this $82,000 is a separate figure.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Chairman, I guess with respect to this item, EMT services have a variety of different sources of funding, including county. It's generally been a local obligation. Some EMT services are operated with the local hospital districts that have their own taxing funding and own resources. Some of them, and they do charge, can charge services. So I guess what's the evidence or that all we're just not simply supplanting the county's support for these organizations, and that why should we take it at a state level, a traditionally county function?
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Co-Chair Nicholas, what we found included in the study that we did back in 07 and 08 to initiate the EMT pension fund, we were trying to find ways to sustain a very fragile system. And as a matter of fact, what we found is that local dollars were not being diverted to the extent necessary in certain areas of this service. Most of their dollars was going to sustain and buy ambulances, equipment in the back, and actual dollars flowing to help these volunteers maintain their level of certification were in short supply. And there were a lot of out-of-pocket expenses and actually a burden being placed on people who are just volunteering enormous amounts of time to their communities and like I said, providing an absolutely valuable service. So in answer to your question, we're not really adding or replacing county dollars or local dollars. All of their dollars are going to infrastructure and also another very valuable component of the ambulance system.
Further discussion on the amendment? Mr. Mai?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify with the sponsor of the amendment. Is this... Representative Stewart, was it your intention to footnote this to say they have to come back and request it next year or not footnote it with the understanding that it'll double for the next biennium, come back automatically?
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In my mind, this is one-time funding, and they will come back and request double that amount, of course, for the next biennium. And the footnote in the enabling legislation for this did have language that this would not be part of a standard budget, that it would always be an exception request. And a copy of that session law was in your handout.
Any further questions of the committee? All those in favor of Representative Stewart's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. Please raise your hand for an aye. Okay. Passes. Right? That's the whole group, 7. Is that right? Yeah. Well, you only have 5, so we'd have to do a lot of increasing. Okay, the House rules just at this moment only. 11:28. Okay. All right. Governor's rec as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. All right. I believe we're on unit 1515. We talked about it before we started. Okay. Time out. Go ahead, Mr. Co-Chairman.
The House to add the positions, then we require, didn't we then require a majority of both so that one side can't drive it?
Mr. Mike.
Madam Chairman and Mr. Co-Chair, as my understanding, we were still operating under the simple majority to do this committee work, and then it required a majority of each side to actually pass the bill.
Majority of each side.
Yeah. To pass the bill.
To pass the bill,
yeah.
But not on motions.
It's not my understanding. It's my understanding the motion is just a simple majority. We kind of ran into this problem last year.
Yeah.
We started down that road of requiring a majority on each side, and it just wasn't working. And rereading the rules, my recollection is we settled on a simple majority.
Yeah, and I thought we discussed.
Well, I wasn't paying attention. I mean, the ability then to bring in a 7, so you run every vote. We probably should have reconsidered that and required them to take off 2 members. But we'll deal with that in the interim then.
I just add that every committee I've been on, it's the chairs that agree up front, and then we go year to year by that decision.
Yeah,
what was our rule say?
Well, I thought, yeah, we'll look at it. I did think that Phil and I looked at it before we started. But that was a long time ago. That was a few weeks ago. That was in December.
We've all slept on
before
that.
Christmas. It was before this morning at 7. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, I agree that's what we had considered, but I never counted the heads over there. I had thought that after Colin went off that we dropped back down to 6.
Well, we dropped. I thought we had dropped. 8. We were 8. We
well,
did
you
drop
were
a
8,
member.
8, so
we
you
were
did
8.
Drop a member.
When Randall was speaker, we were 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's detrimentally to his strip as well. I mean, I'm going to change this. I wasn't paying attention that it, one house could do a full amendment.
Cat bird seat now.
Do we have a... what were the last rules? You have the last rules in the JAC? We haven't adopted... We didn't adopt the rules yet. That's, or did we... For the new committee?
We did. We didn't do that in December. You and I talked about it, but we didn't.
Well, ordinarily we adopt rules at the beginning.
Right.
Actually, and here's... I've got the 2006-2000. Do we have the rules for the JAC for this new session? That's all I have, too. So we haven't adopted our rules yet.
You only have current 07-08. We already had 09-10, and we're now into 11-12, right? So, we haven't been operating with anything.
I don't think we have. Well, I think we usually adopt the rules, but
Madam Chair. I think you can infer Madam Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, I think you can infer that 7 is the right number for the House for this reason. Because rule number 2 of the 0708 rules for joint appropriation says, provided that at least 3 members of the Senate, assuming that this makes up a majority, 3 would be a simple majority of 5, and 5 members of the House are present, 5 would be a simple majority of 7, where 4 would be of 6.
What is the, you're looking at the joint rules? And what do the joint rules say with respect to motions? Does it address that issue?
Bill.
Madam Chairman, rule number 14 is the final vote taken by the Joint Committee on joint sponsorship of any interim bill, except the budget bill, shall require the majority of both the House Committee and the Senate Committee. That was the one we were just talking about. And I think the joint rules, I'll have to find it, but I'm pretty sure the joint rules say a simple majority for everything except that sponsorship.
In most instances, in the are the with other committees, are the alignment of House and Senate the same, or are they different composition?
Well, Senator Von Slater, do you want to express your experience as a chairman?
They're actually 9 and 5, so they're even more House than Senate.
That's fine. Okay. Well, okay. That so in this instance, then, the remedy for the Senate is we just don't pass the bill when we get there. So we'll keep track of these things.
Madam Chair, if I may speak to that. We also have conference committee afterwards, so if we don't pass this point in the Senate, I guess that's the other review aspect. But I agree with you, Mr. Co-Chair, that, you know, we can always be outruled on simple motions. And I actually had a chair on the other side on transportation that said, no, we don't agree to this majority of both houses. And I just basically had to live with it because the rule defaults back to simple majority.
What was the amount of appropriation of that last item? It was
383,
Madam Chair. 383.
Okay. Motion passed. So we also have to deal. Do we have to, before we end this, Mr. Co-Chairman, wrap this up? Do we need to approve some rules?
What?
We need to approve some rules
leave? I think we're operating on the last rules. Unless we change them, we'll just.
Okay.
It's a little late to do that. We'll talk about it in the interim. But we'll operate, you know, we probably should have adopted those rules. But having, I think in the lack of adoption, we just carry forward the old rules.
All right.
We'll talk about it. So.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chairman. So we're on Unit 1515, Behavioral Risk Factor Survey, page 35. This was using tobacco settlement money for the wellness program. The motion on the floor is the governor's rec on page 37. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're on unit 4002, preschool services. Governor's rec as amended. And that would be that there was the actual count was presented to us in testimony, and the correct amount of funding for the additional children for services is $1,564,977. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Unit 4050, page 47, Developmental Disabilities, the Wyoming Life Resource Center, Governor's Rec. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Unit carries. Unit 5050, page 52, Governor's Rec. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That takes care of Agency 48. All those in favor, please say aye.
Madam Chair.
Opposed?
Madam Chairman.
Oh, excuse me, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, before we leave 48, would it be in order to offer an amendment concerning the senior centers at this time, or do you guys want to do it when we go back through?
Let's do that when we go around. Or do you want to open it up now?
I don't have to open it now.
It's Senator Hastert has one, too, so what do you want to do, Mr. Co-Chairman?
I want to go through when they're budgets. If you've got amendments, I want them heard in the amendments.
Now, okay.
Yeah, if the agency is opened.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go with Senator Meyer.
Thank you.
The unit and what you want to do, and then we'll follow up with Senator Hastert, and if there's anyone else, let me know.
Okay, Madam Chairman, this would go to the Senior Division, Division of Aging, concerning senior centers. The amendment.
You have an expense organization number?
Madam Chairman, all I have is on page 36 of the budget. Item 10 is where we amended it last time. Don, do you have the expense organization number on that? Can you help me on that?
Madam Chairman, Senator Meyer, that is Division 5000, I think. Division 5000. It's the Division on Aging.
Division 5000. Madam Chairman, my amendment would be to add...
Senator Meyer, can you speak into the mic a little more carefully?
Yes, my amendment would be to add $1 million to that division for senior centers to be expended as in their regular distribution formula as provided.
Is there a second? Second by Harshman. Further discussion on the motion.
Sure.
Senator Von Slatern.
Could I get that amount again, please?
One million. Madam Chairman, we had testimony last year that just for wages, they needed about 3.5. We added 400,000 to just a wage formula. There's other costs that's been associated with their operations, and this doesn't go into the wage formula, but could be used for wages or other areas, and is necessary to basically provide the programs or help provide the programs at the senior centers across the state.
Okay, other questions or discussion?
What unit does that go in? 500?
Division 5000. We don't have, I'll run and get the unit number, but we'll make sure it gets in the right place.
It has to be around 50-50 somewhere.
5002 maybe.
Madam Chair, it doesn't matter for our purposes. As long as we get it in the right division, we're good. And we'll work with budget to make sure it goes into the right place when they load it up into Wolf's.
Okay. Representative Edmonds.
Madam Chair, I just didn't hear if this was one-time funding. You may have said it, Senator Meyer, and I apologize if I didn't hear.
He has to speak into his speaker.
No, it would go into their standard budget and be biannualized.
Other questions? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not quite sure of the procedure here. I kind of inclined to support this, but would like to exhibit some restraint as well. How would I go about proposing a lower number?
Make a friendly amendment to Senator Meyer.
Would the bringer of the amendment be amenable to $800,000?
Second by Stewart. Further discussion?
Madam Chairman, it's been moved and seconded. As I said before, that we had a showing last time that they needed about 3.4, 3.5 just for salaries for a biennium. This also has to do with all the other associated costs that go up, and so that would get them pretty tight. So, you know, I guess it's the will of the House, and you can do what you want.
Oh, I forgot all about that power. Okay, Senator Von Slatern.
Madam Chair, thank you. Mm-hmm. So we have an amendment to the amendment at 800.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the amendment to the amendment?
This is to reduce it to 800?
Yep, it's to reduce it to 800. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chairs in doubt, please raise your hand for aye. One. That's four of us only? Okay. Motion fails. We're back on the original motion at 1 million. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries at 1 million. All right. Senator Hastert, you're up. Tell us your unit.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a little bit ago this morning, I had distributed the Wyoming medication donation programs. Madam okay. Chairman, I was advised that it belongs in Section 430, and that was in a section that was open this time. And if everybody would look at the handout on that, and we heard testimony from the department and from the state pharmacist on the amount of what a huge success this program is. It's centralized here in Cheyenne. They've been wanting to make attempts to get it out into other parts of the state. Madam Chairman, I had asked for some numbers to get a part-time pharmacist and a pharmacy tech to move this, to expand the program into other parts of the state. They're looking at several locations, Madam Chairman, but the bottom line is the numbers for that is 177,326. It's on the back page of that is what they would need to get the program expanded. You know, this has just been an overwhelming success, and the amount of medication that they've had brought in here just simply can't be utilized here completely, and they have the ability and they have the resource. They need the resources to expand this out throughout the state. So without belaboring this much, Madam Chairman, I'm requesting the 177,326 for the medication donation. And the other thing that the state pharmacist also indicated was that we aren't, that they're pretty much funding this money with, funding this program with other money, is my understanding, and they don't have, they're basically their own funding for this. And anyway, so I'm just requesting that amount of money for the, so they can expand the program.
All right, Senator Hastert, that's your motion. Is there a second? Second by Representative Esquivel. Okay, further discussion, Senator Meyer.
Madam Chairman, I'm just wondering on this program, and I'm sure the good senator from the other side of the state can tell me, is there any prohibition against a private entrepreneur, a pharmacist, from doing this in the private sector? I recall a testimony that if that were to take place, that somebody could probably make $700,000 or $800,000 out of a shop. So I'm just wondering whether or not the private sector is barred from instituting one of these programs.
Senator Hastert?
Madam Chairman, as far as I recall, there wasn't any capabilities of a private entity having the storage and the ability to take this. Now, remember, these are limited to drugs that are, it's not open to any kind of drug. It's simply, you have to have certain types of drug, blister packs. There's a control measure on the returns. And so the short answer is, as far as I know, that I guess you could, but there isn't any place that would have the availability. The pictures that they brought us of the location here is they literally had boxes stacked up into the restrooms trying to provide this. And
I can't remember, did you have the figure on the cost benefit to this point?
Madam Chairman, I had asked for that, and I was and my understanding was is that it was hard to get an actual dollar amount, but there was substantial savings to the number of people that weren't going to the ER, and substantial savings for the programs by the fact that it gave people that buffer and that edge, and they were taking their medications on a consistent basis. And this is kind of a stopgap program. But Madam Chairman, Dr. Sherrard and the state pharmacist Roxanne indicated that there was substantial savings, but it was hard to pin down an exact number.
Okay. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I will tell you from my notes is that there was 5,000 pounds donated, and it was $790,000 in retail value. Now, not that I'm actually supporting the motion, but I will tell you that it is a good program. It went from 360 pounds to 5,000 pounds over a year's time, and does need to be expanded because it is 90-some percent Laramie County right at the moment. It would be nice to bring it about the state. Privately, it's a donation program as far as how the prescription drugs are moved on to somebody else's use, so I really can't see the private aspect of it. But at this point, probably better done in the regular budget.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I did have an opportunity to go to this donation pharmacy one night, and the people that were in there, most of them are on those maintenance type of medications. So if you do look at the cost savings, not only with Medicaid and pharmaceutical and emergency room visits, having a donation program like this comes back and saves the state quite a few dollars as far as those people that are going to end up somewhere else within our system.
All right. All those in favor of the motion Senator Hastert made of expanding the funding amount of $177,326 to the prescription program, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Division.
Division? Okay. Please raise your hands for aye. Guess it fails. All right. That takes care of Agent 7. All those in favor of closing 7, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
40,
motion carries.
That
all right.
Was 48.
Oh, pardon me, 48. All right, Livestock Board, 51. The description of their automation needs are on page 9. And it's unit 101.
Gov's rec?
As amended, I think.
Governor Mead's rec.
Governor Mead has recommended the full automation request.
Oh.
The breakdown was 6,800, another 4,000, and 361,185, total $371,991. The explanation of that breakdown starts on page 14. We had the CIO speak to us about this, and anyone can jump in here and talk about the program if you would like. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. When you were dealing with this earlier in committee, I left behind a written statement about the need for this and some of the experience based on my work on the Agriculture Committee. And so I think that, you know, Governor Mead agreed that this was something that needs to be taken care of now, and I would just support it.
Any further discussion? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Are we on the computerization? Is that what we're on?
I'm sorry?
The computerization?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you just start at that description on page 14, where it says governor's recommendation, and he denied the $361,000, which is for above on page 13, all of the breakdowns for the automation and documentation of their system. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My concern in the testimony when the Livestock Board came before us is they've just gotten that. I think the governor's rec is utilizing their own funds.
That's correct.
Drawing from their that account that was in dire straits just a few years ago. And I think it was my cohort to the right here, good Senator Meyer, that asked the question. You know, he was concerned, as I was, that what would happen to that account if we drained it and or took a big chunk out of it, and would it put it back into jeopardy and in the same situation. So that was my concern, and I think I would move that amount, at least half of it, come from general fund and tap the other half out of that account that the governor recommends. I think it would leave that account more solvent, and I certainly don't want to go back into the position just a few years ago with that problem that we had with the inspectors.
Peterson, did you want to make that as a motion, or do you want to have a little bit more discussion before we do that?
Madam Chair, we can discuss a little bit further.
Okay. Well, what I have in my notes here is that enterprise account now is at about $2.5 million. When they were broke, and we all remember that part, we infused $500,000 into the Livestock Board's program in order to get the brand process and all of that back on track. I think when the director discussed this with us that they thought that this was manageable because they, at the same time that they were broke, we also increased the fees. So it seems that they have a healthier status now in their enterprise account. Mr. Mai, do you want to correct me on this?
Only the number 3.4, Madam Chairman.
Okay, 3.4. Okay.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Representative Wallace.
We received a handout number 75 from the Livestock Board, and on the second page of that handout, it shows the status of that account. And so the bottom line there shows where they were in the hole in fiscal year 06, mm-hmm. but they now have $3.4 million in that account now.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
I think as this moves forward, though, you're going to see an increase in the operating, and it seems like the OCI every 3 years decides that we need new hardware in different areas. And so I think what what's not really reflected is some of the ongoing expenses that's associated with this. So assuming the hardware's, and I didn't see a depreciation account reserve set up in this, and you're going to have ongoing internet expenses. So I think that we might be able to get them to maybe get the first bite of the apple on the hardware or half of this, as the good senator from Bighorn suggested. But if we take this full 361 out and then look at those ongoing operating expenses and equipment replacements, that's going to start to tax that account. And I have a feeling that the Livestock Board was very reluctant to even suggest a hint of any general funds because of past situation here. So, I think it's up to us to take that into consideration. I think it would be reasonable.
Any further discussion on this?
Well, Madam Chair, just real briefly, if I may. Thank you, Madam Chairman. The director and I talked about this, and the good senator from Goshen is correct. They were very timid about asking, and the fund is there, the money is there, but his concern was the same as mine, is the fact that, you know, we just got that fund built up to where it's somewhat healthy, and we tap it, and it could go south in a hurry with that fund. So that's the only concern that we were raising, but he volunteered to meet that expense out of that fund, so I'd hold back my motion.
Any further discussion on the Representative Wallace?
Madam Chairman, maybe I think that I'd like to know a little bit more about what this special fund, what else is paid out of that special fund. I mean, I should remember this, but I don't.
Karen, can you help us with that? All right.
Madam Chairman, Representative Wallace, basically it's a 35-65 split, 35% general fund, 65% earmarked fund, and they pay the mileage, the travel, the salaries, basically the operations of the brand inspectors.
Go ahead.
So out of this special fund account, we're paying for the brand inspectors mm-hmm. in the state, and
And then, you know, like associated costs, like the forms and things like that are also paid out of that.
Is this the same place where the G forms come out of?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
So it's been – do you have this?
I don't have it. No.
Madam Chairman,
I guess
Richard.
Go ahead. Maybe if everybody would look at page 16
mm-hmm.
on this budget, which is where this request is at,
okay.
That's pretty much what this program pays for at the 65-35 split. You can see all the individual line items there between page 16 and 17.
Representative Wallace.
Madam Chairman, I understand and appreciate the concerns of our colleagues, but honestly, looking at the way the agency has been able to build this account up to what appears to be a very healthy and sustainable balance, and I just feel like it's more appropriate to fund these expenditures out of that special fund. It's what it's designed to do, and they need our authorization to do it.
Right. Senator Meyer, did you have still a question or a comment? Okay. All right. All those in favor of Governor Rex amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah.
It was Meade's.
The Meade's rec was amended. Oh, pardon me. Okay. Right. All right. 371,991 dollars. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Representative Stewart.
Just a quick question. I know in our budget books we don't have Agency 49, but in handout 6 from Governor Meade.
Capital construction, so that'll be addressed
that
later.
Okay.
That's for the boys' school.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for bringing it up. Okay. Well, we're still on livestock board, and we're on unit 303. This is for the brucellosis testing, $500,000. Governor's rec. All those in favor, please say aye. Senator Meyer.
I think there was some discussion there to give some flexibility to that fund, so it wasn't necessarily just for brucellosis, and that it was more for disease management. And so what I would do is offer this, is that it would the money would stay the same, that it would be a fund and same authorization and everything, but that that account would stay there and be reoccurring
and
unexpended amounts.
Senator Meyer, and I think that the wording that they suggested was changed to be more broad in an emergency situation, I think.
Madam Chairman, and I think that we remove brucellosis testing, place in disease management, and for emergency situations, and it would be an account that would carry over the unused portion.
And you want it? Do you want to make it one-time funding, or do you want it to be in the standard budget?
Madam Chairman, I think they have to come back. We leave the account there, but they have to come back and ask for an exception to refill it.
Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
Second by Wallace. Further discussion.
Madam Chairman, certainly every agency wants to create a basis for securing appropriation. Then come back and say, now let's widen the bases so that it's essentially a roving account that we can use. And then finally, if we don't spend it, let us carry it over. That's just not good budgeting practice. We should avoid doing that. I'd urge you to vote no.
Senator Von Platen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question is, we have this $500,000 here, and then I think the Senator Meyer's motion on this is to allow it to be used in, as was requested by the agency, for emergency reserve, for other outbreaks that could be requested through the governor's office. Am I getting that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So there was a question that somebody, I don't remember who, was going to check on other emergency reserves that might cover outbreaks. Was there other pots of money that could be tapped instead of this one?
Mr. Cox, do you know that?
Madam Chairman, Senator, the governor's office has his emergency contingent fund, which at this point is just a shade over $1 million that he could address with that. I also know that Homeland Security has funding available for emergencies and whatnot. So there are other areas if the need would arise.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Madam Chairman, two more points. One is when the governor, for example, had the flood damage, he was able to accumulate $14 million by just going out to agencies and calling for a variety of areas. You got a $3 billion, $3 billion budget. There's a lot of things that can be done. Finally, even more importantly, the notion that the agency comes in and gives a nice round number of $500,000, and actually it was, in this instance, it wasn't a supplement. It wasn't a request. It was a gov's request that the agency didn't ask for. And then the agency says, well, that's great. And if we can't use it for what the governor did, why don't you let us use it for something else? Bad budgeting. It was the notion is that if you ask for a specific dollars for a specific purpose, use it for that purpose. And it's extraordinary that you'd say, okay, you know, great, we didn't ask for it, but now that you have it, let us spend it for other purposes.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, the reality is that diseases necessarily don't wait around for the budget process, and they don't wait around for the circumstances associated with accessing funds that may be be leavened or used in other areas. When you have a disease outbreak, you have exigent circumstances which need to be addressed immediately. And if you have a foot-and-mouth outbreak, which we do have foot-and-mouth disease that's in South Korea right now, that particular organism is such that it could actually be on a Korean car that comes across here, and you get in your car and you that came from that particular country, and you step out on a ranch or a farm, and you have foot-and-mouth disease in this state. So what we're trying to do is broaden out those different diseases which may, in fact, represent a real threat or could, in fact, represent a real threat to the livestock industry in this state. And this is exactly what this fund was meant for. Brucellosis was to that actually is occurring now. Brucellosis is one of the most devastating diseases in the livestock industry. It also affects our human population. And from that point, we needed to have a fund that is restricted only to disease management and only in those circumstances. I think that fund could sit there for a while. We certainly have the opportunity to readdress it next year and look at it to see whether or not it's been used appropriately. We have that ability for oversight. So I would hope that we would pass this.
Well, Senator Meyer, I appreciate your argument on this, but I do recall that when the brucellosis first came to the state of Wyoming, the governor did use emergency funds, and then we as a legislature supported that and financially brought money into the account to help with that situation. So I think we do try to meet those needs as expediently as we can. So.
Madam Chairman, with all respect, it was the governor's recommendation, and he knows exactly how the emergency funding process worked, and he has, our previous governor has recommended an alternative to the emergency funding.
Okay. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to build on something the co-chair said, didn't the governor come up with some money pretty fast for the grasshopper mitigation very recently,
and the flood.
So it does appear to me that perhaps there are resources at his fingertips to come up with some dollars. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Edmonds.
Madam Chair, thank you. I've having served two terms on ag, there's no doubt that there are concerns out there, but I am not compelled by the argument at all. I think leaving it as narrowly defined is appropriate, and widening it isn't appropriate. And I think the Livestock Board can make their case to the governor if needed. We've done a lot of things on brucellosis and helping them to continue to try to control and contain anything that may happen in the state. But I would urge the committee to vote against it.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Didn't really ask a whole lot of questions, but I did ask that one about how long it would take to get those funds, and the staff had said it only takes 2 days for them to get funds if there's an emergency like that, so it seems like it's something that's readily available.
The answer is it takes as long to get a B-11 and get a staff and find out where the money. It could be 20 minutes, it could be an hour.
Okay.
It could be 2 weeks.
If there's no further discussion, then Governor's Rec, all those in favor, please say aye. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on the motion. Senator Meyer, all those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion fails. Governor's Rec, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. All right, next item is Unit 701. This is Representative Stewart.
On that last vote, then, we voted for Gov's Rec, which meant that we did approve $500,000.
Right, without expanded language. So the $500,000 is for brucellosis. Yeah, that's what we did. Excuse me. Oh, pardon me. I thought that.
Okay, I'll restate on that. We adopted the governor's rec, which includes expanded language. The Meyer Amendment would have modified that. We rejected the Meyer Amendment to it. So the governor's rec with expanded language has been adopted. And the expanded language, by the way, requires that the money cannot be accessed without governor's approval.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair.
Just Representative Edmund.
Words are important when you were on the record.
Right.
And there is expanded language. So the motion had expanded language. And if you want to say that we rejected the Meyer Amendment, that's correct. The Meyer Amendment was rejected.
Just
yes,
for clarification.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Madam Co-Chair, just
yes.
For clarification. So on page 19, when we have something beyond just the governor approving or denying, like the second sentence that says the funding is to be transferred in health, is that what we mean by expanded language?
No, I was mistaken by that. This is the governor's rec here.
The governor's rec on page 19 says that the 500, so there will be a footnote to that appropriation says yeah. It can only be used for that purpose.
Oh.
And no funding can be accessed without the governor's approval.
So that second sentence makes it expanded right. Language.
Madam Chairman, in fact, from a staffing standpoint, from writing this bill kind of standpoint, I would argue that that governor's, I guess I wouldn't argue, but I would postulate that language says, don't increase this budget. Increase a line item in the state auditor's budget and put the footnote there.
And Madam Chairman, you have to be very specific on these things. You add words. If it's the governor's rec, it's the governor's rec. If we did governor's rec as amended, it's as amended. In this instance, and when you say a qualifier, governor's rec without, then that suggests we modified the governor's rec, which we didn't. It's the governor's rec. The Meyer Amendment was deleted, and we adopted the governor's rec.
And, Madam Chair, just for clarification, in my mind, 19 and 20, pages 19 and 20 sort of conflict with one another in that, in my brain, this governor's recommendation says to put this money in the auditor's office with a footnote, yet it shows up in this budget. So
right.
We'd have to, if we go with the way I'm looking at it, that being the auditor's office and,
well, I think
the number
you,
would
in this instance,
here.
We defer to the written language, and you reconcile the written language unless we should otherwise say, so that if we adopt the governor's rec, the written language is specific. Page 20 is generic. The specific controls over the generic.
Everybody understands now? Thank you. Okay. All right, we're on unit. Unit 701. And the governor's rec is $42,000 on page 27. You want to take a minute to read through the different requests? Are there any changes or discussions to the governor's rec? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That takes care of Agency 51. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is to close. Yep.
Motion to close.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's closed.
Madam Chair.
Senator Von Platen.
I'm just trying to track once again on this sheet.
Sure.
I was looking that we went to 051, Agency 51 Livestock Board, but my sheet has a 049 Family Services. Is that?
That's capital construction
okay,
for the
boys.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you for keeping up on that. All right. Let's see if we can take a couple easy ones here before we take a quick lunch break. Okay. Agency 52. Priority is on page 5, Medical Licensing Board. Unit 101, page 12, Governor's Rec. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Motion to close. Agency 52, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's closed. Agency 54 is the Wyoming State Board of Nursing. Again, the priority is on page 7. This had to do with an increase in licensing and complaint inspection, which was detailed on page 12. All those in favor of Governor's Rec on page 14, Unit 101, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to close. Agency 54, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agency closed. Okay, we're on community colleges, and I think it's a good time to take a break. How many minutes would you like, Mr. Co-Chairman, for lunch? Let's just do a half hour, and we have some food here and whatever else you want to do. So let's be back here at a quarter to 12, or quarter to 1, I guess it is.